Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed and dear fellow heirs of the Reformation. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith on this Reformation Sunday is taken from the Gospel of John. We read from chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, "If you remain in my word, you are really my disciples. You will also know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "We are Abraham's descendants," they answered, "and we have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say you will be set free?" Jesus answered, "Amen, amen, I tell you, everyone who keeps committing sin is a slave to sin. But a slave does not remain in the family forever. A son does remain forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will really be free." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the catechism workbook that I use for our students here at school, there is a question on the Reformation lesson that asks the students to briefly describe the beginning of the Reformation. The answer the book is looking for, of course, is for the students to write something about how Martin Luther nailed the 95 theses or 95 sentences to the church door in Wittenberg, Germany on October 31st, 1517. In these theses, Luther wrote against the false teaching and false practice of indulgences, pieces of paper that the church was selling that people thought bought them forgiveness of sins and kind of got them a free ticket into heaven. This act of nailing these 95 theses against these indulgences on the church door that day put into motion the things that have become known as the Reformation. Historians will point to this day as the beginning of the Reformation, and so do we. That's why we celebrate Reformation Day on October 31st. But is that really the day the Reformation began? No. Now, I'm not going to correct the students if they write that down as their answer this week in the worksheet, but no, it's not really the day the Reformation began. In fact, it couldn't have been. Before the Reformation began, a different kind of Reformation had to have taken place. Not on October 31st, 1517, when Luther nailed those 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg, but when God himself reformed or changed Martin Luther's heart through the power of the gospel message. Think of what that word reformation means. Just kind of break it down. Reformation. To completely change one thing to another, to reform it. That's what God did. God reformed and changed Luther's heart from a dead, lost heart that tried to earn its own salvation through its works to a living, beating, joyful heart of faith that knew and believed that it was Jesus that had paid for all of his sins. A heart that knew Jesus' righteousness covering him was what made Martin Luther righteous and all believers righteous in God's sight. After finally comprehending the gospel for the first time, Luther famously said, "Now I felt as though I'd been born again and believed that I'd entered paradise through widely open doors." It was this gospel of Christ, this power of God for salvation, that gave Luther true peace and true joy. It was this powerful message of the gospel that moved and strengthened him to take a stand on the word of God in the face of some pretty incredible odds. It was this gospel message that moved and strengthened him to work, to teach, to preach, and to write tirelessly for the sake of the souls of his fellow human beings. Ever look back on that time and kind of wish you were part of the Reformation? Well, I'll remind you here today that each one of us has gone through a Reformation, like Martin Luther did. Maybe not in the exact same way in the historical aspects of the Reformation, but each one of us has gone through a Reformation like Luther did through the very power of God's Word. That same powerful Word of God, the gospel message, reformed your heart and mine from stone-dead hearts of death and unbelief to living, beating, active hearts of faith that believe in Jesus. The doors of paradise have been flung wide open for you and me as well because of that saving gospel that created saving faith in your heart and mine. However, I'm also guessing that, like me, there are also things in your life that need a reformation. Are there attitudes, behaviors, and speech in your life that need to be reformed to be less like the world or less prone to our own sinful desires and sinful nature and reformed to be more Christ-like? Well, how can such a reformation like that take place in us? Well, the exact same way God created that reformation in Martin Luther's heart, the same way he made the reformation of creating faith in your heart as well. In fact, Jesus outlines this procedure in our sermon text for today. He says in verses 31 and 32, "If you remain in my word, you are really my disciples. You will also know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus' word is and always is the key. He tells us that. He tells us, first of all, to remain in my word. That word in the original means to live or dwell in something. Here, Jesus is telling us to live, dwell, remain in my word. Notice what he does not say. He doesn't say, look at my word every once in a while. He doesn't say, go to church at least once a month, for sure on Christmas and Easter. But yeah, go to church occasionally. No, he says, remain in my word. That, he says, is the mark of a true disciple, a true follower, a true believer of Jesus. He says, if you remain in my word, you are really my disciples. So, dear fellow believers, does this describe our use of the word of God? Are we always remaining in it, living in it, dwelling in it? Does that describe your Tuesday, for example? No, we must admit it often does not describe our everyday lives. Think for a moment and imagine if Luther had this same attitude towards God's word that we often have. Imagine if he decided, well, I don't really need to go to church every Sunday in order to be a Christian. Or what if he thought, I don't really have to hold to absolutely everything in Scripture. I can throw out a few things I don't really agree with, can't I? If that happened, there would have literally been no Reformation, at least not as it played out in history. In the same way, how can we experience our own Reformation or expect to experience our own Reformation if we're only remaining in God's Word as little as possible? Just doing the bare minimum to keep our consciences appeased, to make ourselves feel like, yeah, we're pretty good Christians. I've picked up the Bible a couple of times in the last month. I've been to church before. Luther dove into those words of God head first. He lived in it. He's said to have spent the first few hours of each day in prayer and meditation in God's Word. Think about that. Not a few hours each week or a few hours each month. He was known to spend the first hours of each day in the Word of God and prayer. Imagine the powerful reformation God's Spirit could work in our hearts if we would invest that kind of effort and time into prayer and the powerful treasure of God's saving word each day. When Luther dove into those scriptures, he found exactly what Jesus promised in our text. Jesus promised, "You will know the truth." And in the Bible, that's exactly what Martin Luther found. He found the Savior himself, who is the Word made flesh. He is the one who describes himself as the way, the truth, and the life. the truth that Luther learned through the scriptures, the truth that we learn when we pick up the scriptures, the Bible, the truth about our salvation is what we find there. We learn that Jesus is God, sent by God to save us from our sins. We learn the truth that we have forgiveness through Jesus' innocent death on the cross. We learn the truth that Jesus leads us to our Heavenly Father. And these truths do indeed, as Jesus says, make us free. That brings us to one of the most misunderstood and misused Bible passages in the entire Bible, which is John 8:32. You will also know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In fact, the moment Jesus said it, the people who heard it misunderstood his words. They said, we are Abraham's descendants. We have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say you will be set free? They mistook Jesus' words there. They thought he was speaking about physical freedom from bondage, which also wasn't true. They said we have never been in slavery to anyone. Did they forget the 400 or so years they were in slavery in Egypt? Jesus wasn't talking about physical slavery or physical bondage there. So what was Jesus speaking of? The freedom Jesus was speaking of through the truth of his word is being freed not from physical slavery or from even life in prison. He explains in the closing verses of our sermon text that he is talking about a freedom that is much greater. Spiritual freedom from sin. And so he explains to the people who were listening to him and confronting him after he said these words, he says, amen, amen, or truly, truly, I tell you, everyone who keeps committing sin is a slave to sin. But a slave does not remain in the family forever. A son does remain forever. So if the Son sets you free, you really will be free. Freedom from sin means full forgiveness. It means life and salvation in Jesus. It also means being freed from sin's power over us and having the ability now through Christ's work on the cross and through the Spirit's work in our hearts through the Word to actually say no to sin. If you don't have the ability to say no to something, you do not have true freedom. And true freedom, having power over sin through Jesus' death on the cross, is actual freedom, the freedom to say no to sin. That is how Martin Luther was set free in the truest sense. That is how we are set free in the truest sense. And the gates of paradise are flung wide open for us as well. So yes, today we are celebrating the Reformation. But today and every day can be the day that we celebrate our own Reformation. That same Word of God that reformed and transformed Luther's heart can reform and transform our hearts and minds as well. God has promised great things for us and has promised to do great things through us when we are in His Word. Remain in it, live in it, dwell in it. In His Word, He has taught us the truth of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Know it. Believe it. This saving truth gives us true freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from death itself, even freedom from hell. Freedom to serve God joyfully, lovingly, and with a thankful heart for all that He has done for us. Be free. If the Son sets you free, you really will be free. The Son has set us free. We really are free. So may the Lord make this day and every day a true reformation for each one of us. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.